The failure of China engagement policies justifies Trump admin's new approach. Commentary. Opinions about President Donald Trump's efforts to rebalance international trade and isolate China are legion. Some characterize the resulting policy shift to isolate the communist country as brilliant and long overdue, while others call it economic malpractice. One's point of view often depends on whose ox is being gored. Those who have long questioned the U.S. policy decisions over the years that facilitated China's rapid development and modernization, and the subsequent rise of Chinese mercantilism and the People's Liberation Army, America's growing dependency on Chinese-produced strategic minerals and pharmaceuticals, and the decline of U.S. manufacturing offshore to China, believe that a Chinese reset is essential and a U.S. national security imperative. On the other hand, those who have made careers out of China engagement, whether diplomats, academics, politicians, or business people, believe that U.S. China policy should return to that of engagement, or at least friendly competition. These people have come to be categorized over the decades as China hands. What has history taught? Let us examine the topic. China hands. In the first decades of the 20th century, U.S. involvement expanded on the political-military front, especially after December 7, 1941. The United States and China formed an official wartime alliance in 1942, and the United States provided considerable material support to China throughout the war, including through an extension of credits to the Chinese regime. Throughout that time, members of the U.S. diplomatic corps in China, as well as journalists, missionaries, businessmen, and others with lengthy direct experience in China, came to be known as China hands. They were the modern-day equivalent of experts who influenced U.S. policies through congressional testimony and public persuasion and helped steer U.S. China policy. Some of those early China hands, such as the journalist Edgar Snow and scholar Owen Lattimore, were sympathetic to the new Chinese Communist Party. Captured by the siren song and the grandiose promises of communism before the genocides and purges became public knowledge, they admired the communists' early focus on land reforms, a complete societal restructuring, and fighting corruption. Some believed that socialism would deliver everything its theoreticians promised, and that the Chinese regime would lead the way to that future. At least partially influenced by pro-China engagers, in 1972, Richard Nixon became the first U.S. president to visit China after the communists seized power in 1949. Most observers have concluded that his main purpose was to open a new front in the U.S.-Soviet Cold War that was raging at the time, the leveraging of communist China as a counterbalance against rising Soviet power and influence in Asia and elsewhere. Others had different agendas. Some believed that bringing China into the global community would expand trade opportunities for the United States, help democratize China, and soften Maoism. Others believed that worldwide implementation of socialism with Chinese characteristics was the inevitable future of mankind and thus worked to psychologically promote and make that a reality. Others descended from the missionary strain of old China hands thought that opening China would result in international pressure on the CCP to end the persecution and cultural genocide of minority groups while improving the basic human rights of average Chinese citizens. The result of China engagement. Thanks to decades of engagement cheerleading from the U.S.-China Business Council and many other China hands, the West has been financing the CCP through the World Trade Organization and World Bank. Statista points out that China's manufacturing output climbed from roughly $134 billion in 1980 to roughly $4.8 trillion in 2023. During that time, China's share of global manufacturing output climbed from 5% to around 30%. While former manufacturing leader the United States saw its share drop from 21 to 17%. In retrospect, China got the gold while the rest of the world got the shaft, as the promises of democratization and tempering of CCP and PLA belligerence through free trade enticements did not materialize. The Chinese regime selectively embraced free market principles and pursued a mercantilist agenda that exploited access to the WTO and most favored nation status to its benefit while perfecting economic espionage and stealing up to an estimated $600 billion in intellectual property annually from the United States alone. Persecution of minorities continued apace, including forced organ harvesting, with Falun Gong practitioners being the primary victims. The CCP also showed its true intentions to the rest of the world through its Belt and Road Initiative debt traps. Enter U.S. reciprocal tariffs. Trump recognized more than a decade ago that continuing the U.S. China trajectory unchanged meant disaster for the United States over the long haul. During his first term as president, he negotiated a trade agreement in January 2020 aimed at rebalancing U.S.-China trade and resolving systemic problems in China's economic and trade regime. China failed to fully comply with its commitments, and the Peterson Institute for International Economics assessed that the Phase One trade deal was largely ineffective. The big problem for China and much of the rest of the world is that most countries have implemented relatively high tariffs against U.S. goods, while the United States has generally promoted free trade and low tariffs against imported goods. For example, Chinese tariffs on most U.S. products in recent years have averaged around 20%, while U.S. tariffs on China prior to 2016 averaged about 3.5%. Reciprocal tariffs are intended to fix that problem. Given that the engagement policies backed by China hands have clearly not worked, and indeed have subsidized and exacerbated the behavior that was to have been ameliorated by those policies, one would expect cautious support for Trump's new approach to China, or at least acknowledgement that the past policies have failed and a new approach is needed.